light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Psalm 29:866. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes and lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And now Acts, found on page 1726, 1 through 7. Well, Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So our message today is going to come from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to look at Mark, chapter 1. We're going to read the first 11 verses. Mark 1. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, and who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the deserts, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up from the water, he saw the heavens being torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word, for the gift that you have given us here today and being able to share with one another. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Do you know how hard it is to say Epiphany 14 times? And I was doing my voice memo for our website. I swore I had to redo it 7 times every time I said Epiphany. It doesn't look at all like what it sounds like when you read it. I kept saying Epiphany and all kinds of different things. And it was rather challenging. But I thought we had to talk about it this week because this is the first Sunday of Epiphany. And it is, according to the church calendar, it really started on the 6th of this month. So just in case you don't know why I thought I should share this with you, who knows why we celebrate this festival? What starts it? Anybody?
Three wise men come to Bethlehem.
That's one way. Any other reasons? Well, in Eastern cultures, it starts because of Jesus' baptism. But all of this is because the wise men came because they were Gentiles, weren't they? It really starts the season when we understand that Christ was here for all of us. Not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. We have this epiphany, this realization. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and I found these 4 definitions according to Webster, and I wanted to read them to you. So definition number 1 is a usually sudden manifestation or perception of essential nature or meaning of something. Or epiphany is also an illuminating discovery, realization, or disclosure. Or it can be an intuitive grasp of reality through something, and usually simple and striking. Or a revealing scene or moment. So when I was writing this, I think I had one. So I got looking at the 4 texts, which was kind of unusual for us, and I'm certain Kathy was a little hesitant when she saw, holy crow, he wants me to read 3 of them. He did a fantastic job. But in all 4 of these, we're going to see something that we can all have an epiphany from. So in Genesis, our reading, God displays his power in the sudden manifestation or perception of an essential nature of our world. Think about that. Doesn't it really open your mind to think that God can create our world in one day? I know a lot of people like to tell you that it took centuries. Well, no, our Bible tells us it was one day, and I want to make sure that you understand that, because at the end of the first day there was evening, and then there was morning. One day. Is that an epiphany? I think so. In our Psalms reading, David wrote all about God's power and about his voice that gives us really an intuitive grasp on reality. Or maybe in our Acts reading, we find Paul speaking to the disciples in Ephesus and disclosing to them this illuminating discovery, the realization of the Holy Spirit. You see, the disciples in Ephesus, once they realized this and once got baptism, their epiphany was shown through their prophesying. Can you imagine this? If this happens here today, they probably all call us nuts. But in our gospel reading, we see this epiphany actually is through the prophets. It says, Mark 1, 2, and 3, it says, I will send my messenger ahead of you Who will prepare the way? A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And in verse 4, he tells us that John the Baptist was the one they spoke about. And so John came baptizing in the desert and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So I'm sitting in my office and I'm thinking, okay, so where are we going with these scriptures this morning? He kept leading me down different paths, and I tried a whole bunch of different ways of looking at it. And I thought, really comes to, it's a new year, and what does everybody really want to know? So I think the basic question we all have is, why am I here? Don't we all wonder that? Why am I here? I want an epiphany today. I want to know why I'm here. We want that revealing moment. We want to have that intuitive grasp on reality. We think about it. So last Sunday, we got talking about how Jesus seeks us, or how God seeks us. Most of the time, we think it's the other way around. We don't even really take the opportunity to look at it. That, well, I'm the one seeking after God. Well, no, because if we waited on that, none of us would ever been there. None of us would ever get to know him. So Jesus seeks us. So when we think about what we read in the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that all these people came from all around to come and see John. Why would they do that? What would compel them to do that? Was he a superstar or something? I don't think so. Here's this wild man in the wilderness. He doesn't even have decent clothes on. And he's out there screaming his head off. I'm thinking, he really didn't speak tender to any of them. And he's in the wilderness next to the river. And he's crying, repent, repent. Who wants to hear that they're bad? Who wants to hear that they've done wrong? Nobody wants to do that. Now, I got thinking about John and the voice he had and what he must have sounded like. And the more I thought about it, I thought, I need some really good examples. So I got to thinking about picking Bonnie up. I went to, not too long, far long ago, she went to Seattle to help out my boy. And so when she was coming back, she'd come back into the Scranton Airport. So I'm at the airport, and I'm getting that there. And we all know how it is. If you go to the airport lately, you're going to sit in line in your car because you can't go in. So you're waiting for them on the curb. Well, it's pretty crowded, and I'm a couple blocks away probably, it seemed like. I'm on the far edge of where you pull in there, and I knew she was going to come out clear down the other end, so I'm a couple blocks away. So I pull in there, and we're kind of double parked at a curb, and this one woman, she parks in front of me, and next thing I know, I got a guy right behind me. There's no way I'm getting out of here if I wanted to. And the lady in front of me had the same problem. And pretty soon, I hear her get out of her car, and she must have saw her friends, and I hear her say, Alice, Kathy, over here. And Alice and Kathy, they see her, and they start heading to her. I'm thinking, wow, she's got a good voice. Next thing I know, I hear this guy sticking his head out of the car behind me. He says, hey, lady, can you call for Harold? You know, we laugh at that kind of stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, what did John sound like? You know, he was down there hollering. Was it going up into Galilee? Was it going off of Herod's temple? He had one of them real resonant voices, must be. But you think about it, if she had yelled for Harold, you think Harold would have come? He'd have think, oh, I'm staying away from that crazy lady. And any other time I read John the Baptist, I have to think of a story that when I was growing up as a kid, most of you know where I lived down off of 29. But we lived in a little house by the creek. And my neighbor, she kind of lived up on the bank. And I'm not going to mention any names. Most of you are going to know who that is anyway, but I'm not saying anything. Anyway, so every afternoon she'd come out. And she'd yell for her dogs. You see, they had a couple of big old, golden retrievers. And their names were Jason and Bruno. Well, if you were lived in our neighborhood, you would definitely knew who it was. You knew who Jason and Bruno was because they liked to wander. They were kind of like the neighborhood dogs. Well, every afternoon, she'd come out. And you would hear, Jason! Bruno! Get up here! And next thing you know, here comes the dog. They'd be trotting along. They didn't want them. They wanted to make sure they got home to get their treat, their dog treat or whatever. Of course, if you were a person in the neighborhood, every time you heard that, you kind of got a chill up your spine. You wanted to come running. Maybe John had a voice like that, made you want to come home. But the real point when I think about this is they knew their names. Jason and Bruno, they knew their names. They knew who they were. And we all know our names. God knows our names, and he calls us by names. And I got to thinking about this loud voice of John's, and I think, you know, that's not the way God talks to most of us. I got to thinking about the story of Elijah. And Elijah, in Kings 19, you see, he was running, and he was scared, probably a little depressed, and he was running from, he was on the run in depression, and so he was kind of looking for a place to hide, he was looking for protection, and so God told him to get up. Because he wanted to speak to God, he went to the mountains. So he's at the mountains, and Kings 19, it reads to us, says that God came. He saw an earthquake on the mountain. The stones were rolling. But God wasn't there. And it tells us a great wind come up and a storm. But God wasn't in the wind. But then he says, and then he heard a still small voice. God was in a still, small voice. And so many times I believe we have to wait. We have to be able to listen. We have to hear that still, small voice. Years ago, I wrote a song, If His Voice You Hear, and I wanted to share that with you this morning because it really tells us that God isn't always in the thunder. He isn't always in the lightning. He's not always yelling at us, but he is always calling us by name. And many times it's in that still small voice. And too often we're afraid to listen to it. We're afraid to abide by what he tells us to do. We want to run away. But he just calls to us, to assure us that he loves us, that he's seeking after us. And not to fear.
If his voice you hear inside you, don't fear, just listen. On the cross he died for you and I. From the grave he came to live again, to cleanse us from all our sins. And he, his Spirit sent, to be with men. Yes, to speak to us, to guide us through life and to keep us within his trust. So if his voice you hear, inside you don't fear, just listen. Know then God's near. So if you're off somewhere, alone and scared, or just tired to the bone, the world's around you and yet you feel so alone. Well, in that distance here, his word's so clear. I just listen and know in your heart that he loves and he guides to the end. So if his voice cloudy or clear, pay attention, oh, just listen, let him steer. If his voice you hear, let him steer.
If you get nothing else out of the message today, know that he's speaking to you. He's calling to you. You can have an epiphany today. All you need to do is listen to him. Listen to his voice. Open your eyes and see the world in a new light. But you got to let him steer. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for how you provide for each and every one of us. I'd ask you if you would come into our lives to this day. Give us an epiphany so we might know that you are here for us. Take the fear from us and instill in us courage and confidence to be with you, to do the things that you would call us to do. In Jesus, we do pray all these things.